B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now you've got a fourth down. So do you kick a field goal, make it an 8-point game, or do you try to put the dagger in and go for it?
Oh, boy, I think you have to make it an 8-point game, don't you?
I think so, yeah. They're going to take it down to the 2-minute warning, if nothing else.
In case you weren't up last night watching the end of Sunday Night Football, what was going on in that game was Minnesota leading 26-21, and you just heard Michaels and Collinsworth. Here was the scenario. Third and four play set up a fourth and one after a gain of three, and that's where this
gain of three. They ran an end around on third and four.
Yeah, third and four with an end around.
That's another story.
With Adam Thielen, by the way. Is Adam Thielen a burner all of a sudden? Is that guy fast? I mean, he's good average receiver speed.
Dumb call.
But he's not one of these burner guys.
Nope.
He's not that what's the rookie's name for the Patriots that they're running this with?
Oh, God. Zuber.
Isaiah Zuber. I love that kid.
He's not Diggs.
Run that thing with him a million times a game. He's no Isaiah Zuber. They set up fourth and one at the 2-minute warning with 2 minutes to go, and they're at the 6-yard line of the Seahawks. 6 yards from the end zone.
Up five.
Up five. 26-21, as I said, which means if they kick the field goal, what's that yardage there? That's a chip shot. Oh, my God. You're looking
22.
At a 23, we'll call it. 23-yard, 24-yard field goal. Or you can go for it and try and score a touchdown. Well, what did they do? They ran the ball on fourth and one, and they did not pick up any yards.
Good.
Then, with a minute and 57 seconds on the clock after the kickoff, Russell Wilson went 94 yards on 13 plays and scored to take the lead and win the damn game. That's what happened at the end of that. And they win 27-26. So you sit there and you say, what are you, stupid? You didn't go for the field goal there? What are you, morons?
No kidding.
Dumb move is that?
That's the thing, too. And it's not like, okay, we got the short field goal, so that's a gimme. It's not like this is going to be a 47-yarder and we're going to screw ourselves and not get the ball back and not have to now all of a sudden be down by three scores. No.
So doomsday scenario there.
The second you know if you have the points, you take the kick.
Yeah, you got 2 minutes to go. Okay, the other team has to drive the field, score a touchdown, and get a 2-point conversion just to force overtime.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're kicking the field goal. We're going up eight here. Let's go. Let's play ball. No, they decide to go for it and go for the kill, and they can't. So here's the rationale, I guess, more from this broadcast on NBC.
And at least they're going to line up to maybe try to draw Seattle offside. At worst, you go for it. And what's the worst thing that happens? You don't make it. Seattle's going to go 95 yards. Meanwhile, did they stop him? It's going to be that close. And the line judge comes in and says they did stop him. And now the question is, can Seattle in 157 go 94 yards?
So you want to follow the math. That's what the math would tell you.
I don't know.
But the math didn't have to deal with Russell Wilson. We'll show you exactly what we're talking about. If they convert, obviously it's 100% chance of winning. You get stopped, you reduce that by only 15%. And kicking the field goal basically remains neutral on that. So there you go. Play Mike Zimmer. You do whatever you would have done. I'm telling you, though, Al, I do not think that he does anything but kick that field goal if, in fact, there's people in those stands down there.
Very likely.
So let me get this straight. The win probability is not changed enough to want to kick the field goal. Analytics tells you that you should go for the first down and the touchdown.
Better get a kicker.
Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
And is that based on their ability to pick up a yard versus their ability to kick a 24-yard field goal? These are all the things that I'm sure factor in with you nerds who want to break down what is an obvious decision into a bunch of numbers and make it the wrong decision.
Nerd decision.
That's what they did. The nerds made it wrong to kick a field goal there. And Mike Zimmer is worshiping at that altar of football nerddom. Oh, my God. You deserve to lose. You deserve to lose every single time you do that. I'm glad he lost. I'm glad the Seahawks are 5-0. I'm glad Russell Wilson went 94 yards and made these idiots pay. Oh, I love it. I love it. Good. Good, good, good. The Paul DePodestas of the world that have found their way into football. Get out of here. Get lost. What, are you going to try and ruin this sport like you did baseball? No, 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 no. Uh-uh. Not here. Nope. Idiots.
You got to have a sense of what's going on, too. The way the Seahawks were playing and the way they had come back in that game. You just got to have a better sense. You got to have a better gut of what they're going to be capable of when they get the ball back. You should have known.
Yep.
I mean, they got him to a 4th and 10, and he threw a great pass to DK Metcalf.
Oh, my God. Metcalf is just...
And I just don't know how well the Cleveland Browns are coached, too. You know, flipping around, looking at games. And
oh, they're an analytics team, too.
Analytics team?
Stefanski's a huge analytics. I came from Minnesota.
Doesn't seem like there's much rhyme or reason or structure to the way they do things. It's chuck and duck ball. And it's scramble, and it's this guy make a play, and then let's run a reverse. It's pulled out of your ass. That's what it is. For them.
Yeah, Minnesota ran a reverse, the end around on 3rd and 4 near the goal line just before that 4th down play.
Patriots ran it. We did that with, what's his name? Get knocked out. Brandon Cook, remember? Sitting there in the huddle. They were, the Patriots are down the goal line against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Oh, in comes your guy, Brandon Bolden.
Half, that was the first half, though,
Brandon
right?
Brandon Bolden, right. But they're dope, just to keep up with all the analytical guys.
Yeah, but no. Brandon this Bolden, is.
I go, oh, here comes the reverse.
This is a game when you're trying to ice it with 2 minutes left in the rain. And let's hand the ball to a wide receiver who normally is not used to getting the handoffs. Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Smart.
Before and then go for it on 4th down. If people who say the Chiefs, oh yeah, no, the Raiders did it against the Chiefs too. The Raiders were at the 45-yard line trying to ice the game, knowing that if you give the ball to the Chiefs at the 45 or if you give it to them at the 20 after a touchback, it's no difference for the Chiefs.
True.
Let's talk more about this. 617-779-0985. How did you feel about the ending of that game last night and everything else from the day? Patriots canceled over the weekend, moved to next week. Players' reaction to that. Jason McCourty sort of at the forefront of the Patriots player reaction. Was there a player revolt that was set to happen in the NFL? Let's talk more about that as well with your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The headline of Ben Volen's story in the Globe yesterday. It may be in print today. It was posted late yesterday. Postponing Patriots-Broncos game was necessary to avoid an NFL player revolt. Is that... And that's just the headline. I know Ben Volen doesn't write the headlines.
Clickbait. Click it.
But 3 paragraphs in, postponing Patriots-Broncos to next Sunday was the only decision for the NFL to make if it wanted to avoid a player revolt. A noticeable whiff of rebellion has been in the air this past week, with the Titans experience an outbreak that infected at least 24 people, the Patriots having to fly to Kansas City to play a game just 2 days after a significant portion of the team was exposed to Cam Newton. NFL players are starting to question the league's protocols and the executives making the decisions. We heard Jason McCourty earlier. We played you some of that. And I'm just going to go back to my question. Guys, which protocol works?
None.
Which protocol prevents this from happening?
None.
And by the way, the Titans, is that the NFL's fault?
No, I would
say. Are players fair to question the NFL about the way the Titans thing has gone?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah. Why are they being frivolous? Why are they having team activities out in fields?
Okay, but the NFL is not approving that.
No,
the NFL's...
no, but you're saying are other players and other teams allowed to question the NFL? That's the way I took that.
Shouldn't they be questioning their fellow players with the Tennessee Titans and not the league?
Yeah, but no, I would say, hey, league, why are they allowed to do that?
They're not allowed to do that. The NFL is going to penalize the Titans, most likely heavily, according to all reports.
Yeah. I'll believe when I see it.
So you don't believe it's going to happen?
I hope so.
Well, I think they're going to get punished, and I think the league is unhappy with it, as they should be. But who's to blame there, the league or the team?
The environment there.
Is it the NFLPA's fault?
No.
That the Tennessee Titans had an outbreak because they just kept going about their business and meeting up outside of the facility? Like,
players
I don't
are
get
a,
that.
Players are a product of a structured environment that starts at the top, okay? And when you're in it, you feel invincible at times, and you look around, you see what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do what they're doing, unless you're told to do otherwise. And go walk around Gillette Stadium underneath. It's not the same place. Walk here, don't walk here. Are you test one or test two? Are you tier one? Are you tier two? Are you tier three? Are you tier four? Stay over here, stay back here. Players only through here. And then their meeting room is actually the field lounge, which is amazing. Spread them out as far as possible. That's not normal. Or is Tennessee just eating in their own regular cafeteria?
This is what I would also say back to Jason McCourty in this. Is it possible that had last week's game against Kansas City been postponed and the facility remained shut down, is it possible that Stephon Gilmore would still have become infected? Well, we can actually answer that one. Yes, because he had dinner face-to-face with Cam Newton Friday night, allegedly. And no one's denied that. So, yeah, that could have happened still. The other test had already happened last weekend, and the latest one is Cowart, right? So, could Cowart have gotten it elsewhere? Could Cowart have gone home and had it? Could Cowart have stopped somewhere and picked it up
again,
even while practicing the best safe practices you can practice?
Yeah.
Like, all possible. So, my question is, had they canceled, because they're upset that they were forced to play last week, they could have canceled that game and moved this weekend's game, and you'd still be in the same boat. So is it the protocol's fault? Like, you could have been in the same spot right now. What protocol is going to prevent that?
None.
Guys, I mean, no one's enjoying this process. Nobody.
You can't prevent the virus.
And I just think they've got to sort of come to grips with that.
Did you mention the Florio piece about where they thought he got it?
No, I did not.
So Florio says, per a source with knowledge of the situation, the Patriots don't believe that the Saturday positive result by Byron Cowart happened in the facility. They believe that Cowart could have caught it from teammate Stephon Gilmore in the, quote, dinky locker room at Kansas City last Monday night.
Okay.
Depends where 59, where's he seated across the 24?
So that's still with your team, though.
It says, or that he caught it away from the facility. But the fact that he put, in quotes, dinky, somebody told Florio, I would assume from the team, that was the situation, and that's where they think he could have gotten
it. Oh, the Patriots are pissed about that locker room all the way.
Very pissed.
And as they should be.
So normal locker room, if you've ever been in a normal NFL locker room, it's a big, square, rectangular room like this. And most of the lockers are on the outside. That's where, and then you get this massive space in the middle where you can kind of move around. Mull around, you have chairs there sometimes. Sometimes you might have four or five lockers going down the middle. You get into Kansas City, you walk in, you're literally walking 3 feet, and you got lockers on this side, lockers on this, and it's a maze. And it turns and it goes down and around. You don't have a meeting space. You can't break up as offense, defense. They do it for confusion.
You've said it's one of the worst locker rooms in the league.
That and Buffalo. And Buffalo has rehabbed theirs. Buffalo's is much better now.
I think all they did was put plexiglass in between the lockers. That was the precautions they took.
Which
that
is most likely not the precautions they're taking with their own team in the facility. Which means they should get their act together as a league.
Who? Which one?
Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
You think their locker room is like that? Or do you think they've got their guys spaced out?
I would say things are a little more loosey-goosey.
Probably.
Loosey-goosey there.
Maybe.
I mean, the fans are there. See, fans. Some fans not wearing masks in the stands. I know it's a requirement, but then the TV flashes up and someone's cheering and a mask off and you're waving. Okay, well, that's not right.
617-779-0985. On last night's finish in the Seattle-Minnesota game, Kevin in Agawam. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hold on, Kev. Still there, right?
Money in the second.
Hey, Kevin, start over. You weren't on. Start over, buddy.
Start over.
Yeah, last night I actually had money in the second half in the line with seven, Minnesota getting. And I saw them fourth and went to commercial. I'm like, nice, it just covered. And flicked back a minute and a half later. I'm like, they went for it? Like, what kind of idiot? And, you know, of course, losing. But I can't believe somebody would ever, in a coaching position, do that. I just was baffled. I changed the channel. I thought I covered.
Yeah, well, you know what? You deserve it, too, just like Mike Zimmer, for going along with the Vikings for with anything. Is it better? You bet the Vikings, you deserve to lose. Stupid team. Stupid team. I don't feel bad for you. Stupid team.
You got this.
I want the Vikings to lose. I want the Vikings to lose every game from here on out now. I want those idiots to lose every game. And if you're betting on the Vikings, you deserve to lose too.
Hey, what, Jim,
what's the matter?
Can you lean forward over here and look at Beetle?
What?
For the whole entire day, I've been laughing. Your face looks like it's smack dab in the middle of a lollipop. Because you're getting a reflection. You're getting this whole Awaken 180 reflection. I'm like, what? You got blue hair. All your hair's blue. You get the big round lollipop around you, and you get that smile. It's like when Billy Lanny gave, what was that? The sweethearts away for Valentine's Day. And he put his picture on him for his girlfriend.
Okay.
You look good on candy, buddy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Beetle right. Suckers. Beetle lickers.
Andrew in Texas.
This just started.
Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys' opinion on that final play on that, where in my opinion was a blown fumble call on Kirk Cousins when he was going to throw the ball. It looked like he had forward progress, but they ruled it a fumble on the last play of the game, and it was over. I just wanted to hear you guys' opinion on that, and I'll hang up now.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted by Zoe right now. What are you doing?
No, it was an incomplete pass. It was an obvious incomplete pass.
Obvious,
end of the game.
Obvious incomplete pass.
What are you doing? You want to take an actual one?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It doesn't work?
The camera's too good.
Camera's better than your eyes?
Yeah, look at the reflection.
No, I can see it.
It's crazy.
I usually see, if we have a guest on and the TV puts them in the side monitor there, I see that person's, like, floating head in the glass.
Ooh, like
reflection.
Scary.
Mike, who's in Brooklyn. Mike?
Hey, Beetle. Just wondering how much Blair Walsh's shank just played into Mike Zimmer's thinking there. You know, bad weather, chip shot against the field, against the Seahawks. Same opponent, just, you know, stupid team and all, but can't imagine he's quite over that.
Do you think he's shook by it? He just has bad dreams about it?
Probably. That's as far as that organization got, aside from, you know, having Case Keenum, which wasn't even really a real run at that point. So
the only problem with that, though, is that if the kick is shanked, right, they try and kick the field goal, and he shanks it, you're still up five, and they've got to go 94 yards, as they did, and they proved they can do it. Right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. What do you think's easier to do? To shank a kick or get stopped on fourth down?
Probably to get stopped on fourth down.
That's what I would assume too.
But I mean, I can't imagine the emotional scarring Mike Zimmer's gone through having to explain for that kicker and just, you know, same opponent again, having it happen again, especially, you know, that organization hasn't done much. I would think you repeat the same mistakes over and over again, kind of like Dan Quinn has been doing, and starts mounting pressure on your job.
Zimmer's probably close to getting fired there. I mean, there have been rumors about his job security. Thanks for the call, Mike. There have been rumors about his job security going back a few years now.
And now, by the way, on that fourth down, Dalvin Cook's on the bench in the whole second half because he got hurt the first play of the second half.
Uh-huh.
So he's not even – your best runner's not in the game and you're going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
I know they were running the ball pretty well, but still.
Huh. Can you block it? That's what it comes down to. Can you block it up?
I don't even care that he went for it. If Zimmer just said I had a gut feel and I went for it, I'd be fine with it. But you know he went for it because of analytics. That's the part that pisses me off.
It's insane.
Just like this going for two down 14. I know that.
It's insane mathematically, this is the right call. What are you talking about? It's not the right call. That's the wrong call. Don't do that. Jeff in Nashua. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, boys. Hope you had a good weekend. Zell, I'm watching on TV, and what's wedged in your teeth, my man? You've been seemed like you've been battling all morning.
Oh, I got a piece of meat stuck between my tooth. Normally, I have a dollar bill.
Promo.
Normally, I have a dollar bill that I would sort of dig it in or out of with. I've been trying to use these paper, like pieces of paper. It's not working.
How about a toothpick? Can we find you a toothpick,
baby? I'm dying for one.
I bought you a pack of one.
I went through those so fast.
Yeah. He's chewing his nails. The whole thing. He's obviously bothered.
Would you like some floss?
Why don't you be a little more nitpicky?
Jeff, I wouldn't say that today has been Zoe's best day. That's what I would say.
I hear you. What he was saying earlier, that when you test negative, you have to quarantine for 21 weeks. No wonder there's confusion.
I said 21 days, Jeff.
You said 21 weeks. No. Check the tape.
We have the tape. Don't worry, Jeff. We have the tape.
Sorry, Greg Gumbel.
Are you related to Jake?
Kyler Murray for an entire game. So,
anyway, RJ Bell. Wow. Beetle, you kind of, with the other Joes, spanked the pros with
absolutely
that Cleveland pick.
Told you Cleveland was going to win that game.
Yeah.
I was feeling it this week.
And then his large wager on the Rams versus the football team. Thanks a lot, RJ. I took your information, and it wasn't very helpful. But before the Dak injury, and that was just horrific, all we kept seeing over and over again on a loop, basically, was Fackrell's taint. And I think you guys...
Oh, boy.
What did he say?
That's nothing that we can repeat.
Hey. Did Jeff just pull that on us?
He's done that a few times. He's kind of gotten in the good. He's been banned and then gotten back in, then banned and gotten
caller.
Back in.
He's a good caller.
No, he's the guy that got Burt Breer going on that phrase that we couldn't say on the air.
Jeff and Nashua.
He did the side thing?
Yes.
The side thing doesn't
I'll tell
even
you in a minute.
Doesn't
go
even
back
compare.
To your chair. Go back to your seat. We got to get to Arnie's headlines.
Hurry up.
More of your calls are next. And today's takeaways on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beatrice. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Keep going. Nailed it.
Into the distance. Ribbon of black.
Sister Sun.
Stretch to the point of no turning back.
This the wall.
Fly to fancy.
No. It's a long time after that. It's like late 80s.
You took my little musical comment and spun it into that little serious thing you do. Van Hagar versus Van Halen.
I used that for the weekend.
That's
it was
not,
good.
I loved
not,
it.
But it was what? Unpopular music tape?
Yes. What is your most unpopular music opinion?
It's a good angle. A lot of people agree with Zoe.
A lot of people agree with me.
Yeah.
Let's go to Nixon, who's in the car. Hi, Nixon.
Hey, how's it going, man? I just had two things I wanted to talk about, and I'll hang up real quick. Talk about the Seahawks blowing the game yesterday. You know, they took that field goal, they won the game. Bad coach right there. And I also wanted to, how do you think Bill feels about, you know, Metcalf? You know, he had the opportunity to draft him, passes on him because of the injuries. You know, Bill usually takes. He'll take chances with guys, but it seems like he takes chances on the wrong guys. You know, Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown. I understand this is a little different, but given his experience with drafting wide receivers, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he really dropped the ball on this one because I feel like
was there a red flag on DK Metcalf?
I believe it was neck injuries. I believe it was some type of injuries.
Oh, so medical thing, not an off the field thing. I'm like, I don't think there was any character issues there. Size?
Yeah, too big.
Okay, injury stuff, that wouldn't apply. He took a chance on Rob Gronkowski, granted not with a high pick like Metcalf, but where did Metcalf go?
Seattle.
No, no, when?
Oh.
In the draft.
Oh,
63, 64.
Yeah, that's sort of almost into risky territory there. You could take a pick there. I mean, good for Seattle.
Good player.
Good player. He's working out there. Every time you watch him, yeah, all you do think about is N'Keal Harry. Listen, Bill's track record on drafting wideouts is not great. Deion Branch.
It's not going to get better for N'Keal.
And I'll even give him Julian Edelman, even though that, you know, how could he have really seen what Julian Edelman was going to be?
See, like that Ayuk guy or Claypool or Schuster Smith, all these guys you talk about, or flash, guys that flash and make big plays, everything that's downfield. You're not going to get that with N'Keal. N'Keal's going to be slant, hitch, end around, maybe a fade stop once in a while. It won't be the explosive play after catch.
It's just a blind spot there in the drafting.
Is it, or is it the development of him? Like, would Harry be like Claypool is if he was with the Steelers?
No, and I'll tell you why, and I'm not basing it on N'Keal
Steelers
Harry.
Steelers may have moved to tight end.
I would just say that all the guys that have been drafted, Taylor Price did nothing after the Patriots. Brandon Tate is probably the best example of getting drafted, being considered a bust, and doing something else. Like, he went to Cincinnati and a good core special teamer and, you know, really added something to the team, but not as a great receiver. There's just too many. Chad Jackson, Dobson, Taylor Price. The ones that, like, come to mind that I think of are the good picks.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily high picks. Hmm. David Givens, to me, was a really good pick. And his career was cut short by injury. Malcolm Mitchell, same thing. I thought that was a good pick, but that one had the injury flags out of the gate, and it ended up coming to fruition. But still, he was a fourth rounder, right? Good pick. Malcolm Mitchell was a good pick. David Givens was a good pick. We know Deion Branch. It's the first guy I name. He's a great pick. Edelman, I'll give you that. Good pick. Late rounder. But as far as, like, high wideout picks go, it's a blind spot. When they target wideout and they want to use a high pick on a wideout, it's not been good to them over the years.
Yeah.
It just hasn't. And they haven't used a lot of picks, high picks on receivers. But the ones they have, not great.
Yeah. Kevin Colbert's his name, too. Pittsburgh.
Who?
Kevin Colbert. He's the GM. He's the guy that picks all the receivers. They just replenish
his stock. Him for like a day.
Yeah.
It's be like, hey, listen.
Still his notes. Still his notes, and then, oh, look what we found. Did you lose these?
Hack his nerd's computer system.
Yeah.
You know? Claypool was the highest draft pick out of all their good receivers. He was picked 48th or 49th. He's the highest draft pick.
He got Antonio Brown in the sixth round.
Even
Schuster,
like Emmanuel,
second round.
Emmanuel Sanders and
third round.
And Mike Wallace.
Third round.
You okay?
I got hiccups.
You hiccups?
Yeah. Scare me.
Let's go to John in Shrewsbury. Hey,
I drank
John.
All that water.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
How you doing? I want to talk a little bit about Sony Michel and N'Keal Harry. I'm tired of seeing end arounds to N'Keal Harry. He looks like it's the first time putting on football pads. He has the football in his hands and he looks timid. He slows down before contact, and I haven't seen him make someone miss. As far as Sony Michel, I've seen enough of him. I mean, I've seen one good game in the last 2 years. I can't see him continue to get the ball. I'm happy he didn't play the other day.
I have a question related to Sony Michel.
Sure.
And others. So the IR is 3 weeks, not 3 games, right?
Right.
So bye weeks count for the IR time. Okay.
Yeah.
I figured that was the case.
Yeah.
Because in a normal year, when you're designated to come back after a certain week, it's bye weeks, not games.
Correct.
But I didn't know what the new shortened
week.
One,
yeah.
If the new shortened IR changed things. All right. So Sony Michel has already missed 2 of his 3 required weeks. He will, at a minimum, miss the next week.
Oh, yeah.
Assuming the Patriots are playing next Sunday.
Who's after Denver? San Francisco?
Yeah, no, that would have been the same case, though. The bye would have been next week, so it would have been the same scenario.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't change. Yep. I get what you're saying. Same thing applies.
Right.
So he doesn't want to see him ever again? Well, listen, what are you going to get for him? would be my question. What's he worth? Is he worth, you know, we like to say, so swap the junk.
Yeah.
You know, swap a depth piece on your team for a depth piece on another team.
Eggland's best eggs. I like those eggs. They're always nice, big, bright white ones. Never have a bad egg in there. A couple packs of bacon. A couple pairs of new shoes. Maybe a fifth round pick.
Excuse me?
Just saying, what do you want to get in exchange for Sony Michel? He said, swap your junk.
Can I ask a random NFL question?
Sure.
Can I ask if you have a new endorsement deal with Eggland's Best Eggs that you had to work into a conversation?
No. Go ahead, okay. Jim.
Are the Dolphins good?
Are the Dolphins good?
Their only losses are to the Bills, Patriots, and Seahawks.
Papagino's different.
Are the Dolphins good? That's the question.
Bills, Patriots, Seahawks. Those are their losses. They lost to really good teams.
They're not
bad. And
they
almost beat the Bills.
I would say this. They're not good.
They blew out the 49ers.
No, they're not good. They're not bad. They're somewhere in the middle. They're mediocre.
Like, if the Patriots had a 2-3 record, you're like, yeah, but they lost to those three teams. You'd be like, all right, yeah, they're still good, but they lost to those three teams.
You know what's really clouding me is the fact that I watched them play the Patriots, and I just don't think they're very good.
Miami.
That was the game that was the worst. That was their worst game of the year.
All right, let's say this. Can we say this about the Dolphins? If you're a Dolphins fan, you've got to feel like your team is improving, and they're heading in the right direction.
And it's too bad you have your future quarterback's on the bench. Because you know that's coming. You know Fitzpatrick pick six is coming soon.
Yeah, they haven't even unleashed Tua. Jim's right. It's coming at some point.
By the way, got a Neil Collins email of the day. Email of the day.
You like that guy's email.
The volume is off the charts.
It's great.
He's just producing left and right. He said, to me, you are right about Sue Bird. Going back to our conversation on Russell Wilson, mentioning Sue Bird. Ready for this? 2018, the Seattle Times conducted a survey and came up with the most important athletes in Seattle sports history. You ready for the list of a team that does not have an NHL team? Their NBA team quit them, and they do have a baseball and football team along with a soccer team that they're huge on and a WNBA team.
Okay.
But they're all time. Ken Griffey Jr. is one. Russell Wilson is two. Let me skip a few. Number five is both Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. They got one combined. And number six, behind Gary Payton / Sean Kemp, is Sue Bird, one spot ahead of Steve Largent, according to the readers' survey in Seattle. Neil Collins,
the email of the day.
Told you, Sue Bird, she's a name.
What are we supposed to do with that?
Just to say, you're right, Sue Bird, she is important.
Yep, have fun,
that's
Seattle.
Why,
put on a sticker.
That is important, and that is why Russell Wilson brought that up. Somehow Warren Moon made the top 10, though, and Ichiro was 9.
But Sue Bird was up there?
Does that seem insane? Warren Moon should not be in the top 10 when Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez, Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, none of them made the list. But Warren Moon did.
Seattle's so strange.
He's like their Zoe back then.
I guess. They love Warren Moon.
What's our equivalent here to Sue Bird? Somebody would bring up like an athlete in a conversation.
Alexi Lalas.
That would not resonate outside of New England.
Allie Raceman?
No, she was America's sweetheart for a little while.
That's a good one. What is?
And she's not, I mean, she is not, yeah, I know she's Needham's own, Allie Raceman.
I was clutch like Carlos Heel.
They give.
Yeah. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey! Time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If losing weight has been in your plans and you can't do it, but you've been wanting to do it, well, what are you waiting for? Drop the weight, keep it off with free support for life with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Get in there, check it out, awaken180weightloss.com.
Just one item today. Zoe's garbage man reached out to him and said, hey, Zoe, you got about 15 minutes. You forgot to put the barrels out.
There are periods where I will walk into a room and be like, what the hell did I come in here for?
Well, you're approaching like senior citizen age. That just happens.
But I just start walking around and walk around. There it is.
Speaking of that, just got a call to the line here. Your trash man called, said you got 15 minutes or so. Your trash isn't out yet.
Best in the business.
Literally just happened as Tom was talking.
Best in the business doing her job.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Give you a warning.
Call the house.
Like, I'll take one more shot here.
Call the neighbor.
The one that dug through your dumpster.
This is,
it is her.
Like phone a friend.
Calling the dumpster diving neighbor.
Phone a friend. Yeah, yeah, listen. Did you get the ticker from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on?
Yes, we do need the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I want a friend.
Lifeline music.
Lifeline. Do you want to use one of your... You do a great Regis. Artie, can you do your Regis? Use your lifeline.
He's calling him on the phone.
Hey, Laura. What's going on? Hey, my very classy garbage man just doing his job said I forgot to put out my garbage. I didn't think he was coming today because of the holiday.
Yeah. You want Vinny to put it out?
Yeah, would you mind having Vinny roll it down? Just the one.
He's right outside here, so I'll tell him.
Awesome. Yeah, classy management, waste management people here. Awesome. Big shout out to them. All right, thanks, Laura.
Okay.
All right, see you, bud. See you, bud.
So Vinny's going to roll down. Is that your final solution?
Final answer.
What?
Done. Done and done.
Done.
Took care of that problem. Got no answer at home?
Yeah.
See, on the show, you wouldn't have been able to make that second call, right? If they don't
normally,
pick up. Wasn't that?
You know, it's almost as though they knew that there was a possibility that they could call. I don't recall seeing an episode where the person just didn't pick up.
I wonder if that was in the official rules.
Yeah,
it's something to think about. Really. Yeah.
Oh, so long, Zoe.
All right, Zoe.
Hey,
you have a good rest of your afternoon. If you were waiting on Felger and Maz at 10 a.m. today. Well, they're back at their normal time, 2 p.m. They're on the way in just moments. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
App. They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We can't compromise the health, safety, and well-being of our football team, including our staff. I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that's the way to go. In the long term, I think that's going to be much more detrimental than a short-term adjustment that we have to make in order to maximize everyone's health and safety. So that's our approach. That's the way I look at it. And I know that's the way Mr. Kraft looks at it. And so that's what we're going to continue to do. We'll put the team first, and that's our philosophy.
And that's where we will begin today on Monday, October 12th. Felger and Maz on a Monday. It's a re-entry Monday, so everything from the weekend, and we've got a lot to get to. In fact, we're going to hit all four sports, all four teams today. So you can call and talk about whatever the heck you want, but we are going to start with probably the lead item, which is a cancellation
or postponement rather of the Patriots-Denver game yesterday while scheduled for tonight. And they canceled it yesterday morning. It's set until next week. And that's spawned a lot of discussion about COVID and the Patriots rolling it and how the league has handled it and all of this. And so, as usual, Maz and Murray alongside from our Townford Tire Studios. Hi, guys.
Good, you.
Hello.
Maz, that comment from Belichick stood out to you. Why?
Well, because he mentioned Kraft. That really, that's the only part of the comment that to me makes it different. That's how I feel about it. I know that's how Robert Kraft feels about it. So now Bill's speaking for the owner? Like, that, so to me...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.